We're on Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, and we're up to the Gemara on the Mishnah, which is approximately 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. My lo amar klum. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that if a person is ala ilan ala gader, he says about a tree or a fence, shvisasi tachta of lo amar klum. Amar Rav, according to the first opinion of Rav, the Mishnah means Shalo Amar Klum Kol Ikar, which means that he doesn't accomplish anything by trying to be Kona Shvisa towards underneath some sort of a far off tree, and that means that Filu the Tachtov Shal Ilon Lomotzi Azil, he's not allowed to even walk even as far as underneath the Nof, the foliage of the Elon. And basically it means he cannot move more than 4 amos from the place that he's standing. He was not Kona Shvisa in his Makom Amida because he was Oker his Das. He decided that he doesn't want to be Kona Shvisa there. He wants to be Kona Shvisa under the Elon. And under the Elon he wasn't Kona Shvisa, according to Rab, because Lo Birer Es arba amos shechafetz lishbos bohen. That just saying takas ha'ilon, that's not pinpointing a specific area. And even though the entire shetach is under the nof of the ilon, and let's say that's within alpaim ama of his makom amida, but nevertheless, that's not a place for Kona Shvisa at all, according to Rav. It's Ein Makoma Mevurar, and therefore Ein Aleh Shem Shvisa, as Rashi spells it out over here. Now, the language here is Harei, this is Rabbi Yonasan, Harei Hu Kimi Sheyoshein Bederech V'Choshcha, the Amri Rabbanon, Sheilo Ella Arba Amos. Person was on the road and he was asleep when nightfall happened on Friday night. The Rabbanon holds he doesn't have more than Arba Amos. He should have, before he fell asleep, he should have been aware of the fact that it might get dark out. Here also, he should have been Mavar his Arba Amos where he wants to be Kona Shvisa. If he didn't do such a thing, then we'll give him 4 amos. And it's a knas that the Chachomim imposed as a penalty for a person who was not Mavar his Mokum Shvisa, and he's not Kona Shvisa at all. And it comes out that all he gets is 4 amos in each direction. There is another Shita Rishonim in interpreting Rav, and that's the Shita the Tosus Rid. He holds that when Rav says lo omar klum kol ikar afil tachtav shel ilon lo motzi ozil, that's only to be Kona Shvisa underneath the ilon. He's not Kona Shvisa there at all. And he says af lo le'inyan kach shehe tachtav shel ilon nasalo chamar gamal, which we'll get to in a minute. Avol mikol makom lo ibe ashvisas makom amidoso. So according to the Tosus Rid's interpretation of Rav, he does get as a fallback position a kinyan makom shvisa wherever he is, and he can move 2,000 amah in each direction from that makom shvisa. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel interprets the Mishnah lo Omar klum means lebeso. He's not allowed to go from that point to his house. Avolatachtov shel Elon motzi ozil, but he's allowed to walk all the way to the under the foliage of the tree. That's where he was Kona Shvisa. But from there to his house, he would not be allowed to go. And this means that the rochav ha'ilon, right, the width of the Elon is in 2,000 Amah, within 2,000 Amah is Makom Amida, and he was Kona Shvisa Mikol Makom, even though as Rav would have argued, he doesn't know exactly to pinpoint the exact four amos, let's say, of his Kinyan Shvisa. And if part of the nof of the Ilan is outside 2,000 amos, then Shmuel would be mimoda that he's not Kona Shvisa at all. But within 2,000 amos of the place he's standing, he could be Kona Shvisa under the nofa Ilan, of the width of the nof of the Ilan. And that would give him, in both directions, what we call Moshech Oso. I'm sorry, we didn't get to that yet, but I need to say that the reason why he's not allowed to go to his house is because even though he was Kodesh Shvisa underneath the Ilan, and therefore he's allowed to go all the way to the Ilan, that's where he's Kodesh Shvisa, but nevertheless, as far as his bias is concerned, Ein Rashai Lelech LeBeiso, even though he was Kodesh Shvisa underneath the Ilan. And the reason for this is because of this svara of Chamar Gamal. Mishum shenasalo tachtov. In other words, again, the width of the foliage, underneath that foliage, shel Ilan Chamar Gamal. Chamar Gamal means that it carries him, it pulls him in two different directions. It's a mushal for a person who's trying to lead, that's a good word. He's trying to lead both his donkey and his camel simultaneously. When you lead your donkey, then you do so from the rear. You stand in the rear and you lead your donkey that's in front of you. Where, in the case of the gamal, it's just the opposite. You lead the camel by standing in front of it and pulling it. So if a person is trying to lead both a donkey and a camel simultaneously, he's being nimshach, he's being pulled in two different directions. He has to look sort of in front of him and also behind him. And he's pulled in two different directions. That's called chamar gamal. And now Shmuel explains why this case of the tachtov shel Ilan is called chamar gamal. Ba limdot, if he comes to calculate his tchum minat sofon, from, let's say, the northern part of the tree, which faces his house, so that he can go from that part of the tree another 2,000 amma back to his house, then modin lo minat dorom. Then we're going to say to him, wait a minute, maybe you koveh yoshvisa in the southern part of the Ilan, which is far away, further distance from your house. Now we're talking about a case where the Ilan is exactly 2,000 amos away from his house. And now that the first four amos, which faces his makom amid, the arba amos rishonos, is mishama ad beischa, from there, from the Arba Amos Rishonos, which we call Notos Litzad Mokom Amidoso, is from there to his house, it's more than 2,000 amma. So I have this diagram here. If you take a look at the diagram, you see he's walking towards the Ilan, and his house is now, let's say, 2,015 amos away from Tachas HaIlan. Right, so he gets to the, let's say, actually, you know, I'm a little bit ahead of myself. Let's just say that we'll make the medida from the tzafon. Let's talk about that case. So if he's making the medida from the tzafon, then 2,000 amma will take him from his house. I mean, to say 2,000 amma distance will take him to 4 amos towards the northern side of Tachas HaIlan, but that's his house is now 2,000 plus 4 amos away from where he is, and that's too far to be in the Tchum. And if you want to take it the flip side around, let's say in the case of that's that's the case that we discussed. That's bo minat sofon is modin lo minat dorom, right? Because maybe you koveh shvisa on the dorom side of the ilan, right? And then you're going to have to add another four amos to the tzafon side, and you're now 2,004 amos away from your bias, and that you can't go to your bias. Now, ba limdod min hadoro. Now let's say he's going to calculate his tchum from the southern side, correct? So then, if you're on the southern side of the nofa tachas nofa shalilon, which is closer to where you are, so you get 2,000 amma, and you're underneath the southern side. Now you add a 4 amma distance till you get to the base of the tree, and modin lo minat safan. If we're going to now calculate it from the northern side, then once again, you're going to have to go 2,000 amma plus another 4 amos to get to the Safon side of the Tachasa Ilan. Klomar omrim lo shema kavata shvisoscha bitsido hatzfoni shel ha'ilan, right, on the tzfoni side, which is towards the house, and in that case hu merchak alpayim amma mimokom amidoscha. So that's starting to calculate the northern side from the 2,000 amma. Then nimsa she'ena rashay loshuv me'achorcha afilu amma achas. So this is interesting. In such a case, he's not going to be able to walk backwards, because if he walks backwards, he retraces his steps, then he'll be more than 2,000 amma, he'll be 2,004 amma away from the tzad Sfoni, the 4 amos on the northern side. Amar Rabba, my time with the Rav. What's the logic that underlies Rav Shita? Says Rabba, Mishum de lo Masayim Asre, he wasn't Mevarer, his Mokom Shvisa, because let's say the Ilan has a Nof that spans, let's say, 8 amos. He hasn't been mevarer which 4 amos under the Elon he wants to be kona shvisa. And Rav holds that you need a mokum shvisa that's mevurar, that's precise, that's nikar, that we know clearly what it is. And a shvisa sheinu mevuveres eino mo'ila klal is not meaningful at all. So since he wasn't kona shvisa, therefore he has the din of a person who is leaving his tchum on Shabbos, and therefore, wherever he is, he's leaving his Tchum Shabbos, which is 4 Amos Bilvad. Ika Diamri Omar Rabba. Rabba has another take in explaining the underlying logic of Rab. My time with the Rab, Mishum de Kosovar, Kol She'eno Bozecher Zeh, Afilu Bevasachas Eino. Any two actions which cannot be Chal simultaneously, cannot be Chal one after the other, in sequence. So if you have a situation, like let's say a man wants to marry, he wants to marry two sisters. So would he, if he would marry one sister, he could not marry the second sister. Now what he does is he wants to marry both sisters b'vasachas, with one ma'isa kiddushin. So we apply the principle, says Rav, of kol she'eno b'zecher ze'a afil vasachas eino. If he does these two ma'isim simultaneously, neither of them are chal. So let's go back to the case that we're dealing with of Rav and Shvisa. He wants to be konveya his Shvisa in a specific 4 amos. He can't be konveya Shvisa on another additional 4 amos, right? Because the Mokum Shvisa V'Rodom is be 4 amos and not in 8 amos. Therefore, if he's konveya Shvisa underneath the shade of the tree, which is 8 amos in width, he cannot be kona even 4 amos, because he couldn't be kona 4 amos and then another 4 amos. He cannot be kona shvisa in two different places. My Beinayu. So Gemara asks, what would be the nafkamina between these two interpretations of Rav, or these two versions of Rav? And the Gemara says, Ika Beinayu, the difference is going to be the Omar if a person who's walking on the road, he makes a declaration, Liknuli bi arba amos migosh shmona, that amongst, within the 8 amos under the foliage of the tree, I want to be kona 4 amos. But he doesn't specify which 4 amos, you know, tzad tzofon, tzad dorom, etc. So Mandi Omer, according to that interpretation of Rab, Mishum Dlo Masayim Asrei, the first interpretation of Rab, that he didn't specify his Holo Masayim Asrei. Here too, he didn't specify which 4 amos he wants to be Kona Shvisa, therefore his Kinyan Shvisa is Batur. But Mandi Omer, according to that Mandi Omer, the second explanation of Rabba, Mishum Shekol Sheyet Eino Vazecha Zafil Vasachas Eino, is high Ka Arba Amos Domi. Right, what did he say? He said he wants to be Kona in 4 amos. He didn't specify which 4 amos. But he only wants 4 amos. It's therefore, this is a case that's similar to a person's Kona Shvisa in his Arba Amos, and only in his Arba Amos. The Hoch Arba Amos Ka'omer, he specified that he only wants Arba Amos, and therefore he would be a Kona Shvisa in Arba Amos, even though he wasn't Mavar where the Arba Amos are. But the only problem here, according to Rabbi's second interpretation, Rav, would be the fact that it's not Bozech Herzeh. And here, this is not a case of Bozech Herzeh, because he's not interested in being Kona Shvisa for the full 8 amos underneath the Ilan. Gufa, Amar Rav, now there's a whole long sugya here about this principle in the second version of Rabbah, of Kol Dov Hashenu Bozech Herzeh Afilu Vasach Hashenu Esvei Abaye L'Rabbah. Abai has a Tosefta in Tmai, which seems to contradict Rav. The case is Hamarbe b'Masros. The Torah says that you should separate Maser 10% of your growth, of your produce, and that's what you give as Maser to the Levi. And it's 10% and not more than 10%. Now, what happens in a case of Marbe Bimasrosa? He decides to give, instead of 10%, 20%. So the law is the following, a complex law. On the one hand, Perosa of Misukoni, as far as removing the Isur Tevel from that tour that needs a Chiv Maser, Hafrashas Maser, he was Mafkia, the Isur Tevel, and therefore the Peros of Misukoni. But if you ask me about the Masrosa of, that's Mikulkolin. In other words, which Maser actually goes to the Levi, we don't know. He was Mafrish 20% instead of 10%. And basically, what we have here is a mixture of Tevel and Maser, because there's no Chalushe Maser on the extra 10% above and beyond. The Torah says Mefurish Maser, which means that it's 10% of 1 out of 10 of his fruits, and therefore, if he adds to that shear, there's no chaloshe maser. It can't be called maser on that tosefes. So we have here a situation of tarovas of tevel umaser, a mixture of tevel and maser. And Rashi points out, not here but elsewhere, that asurim heim l'chol odom ad shi'taknum, and he would have to be misaking it in order to figure out which is mas. In the note here, he quotes the Meiri that this tikkun that he has to do over Yachi Ataknem, who sheito peros tevel mimokam ach viyafshish me maser ala machtis mina peros amufuroshim. He's going to have to take other peros that are certainly tevel and use those peros to be mafrish maser on the half of the fruits that he separated before, which were not subject to the chaloshem maser. And then it becomes peros chulin misukonin. But now, at this particular stage, he's got maser v'chulin murovim zevazeh. Amai, so Abai asks, according to Rabbah, why should this be? Why are the peros misukonim? Which means that there is a chaloshe mafrosha when he was mafrish 1/5, and therefore he was mafkia the shem tevel, and the other four-fifths are Misukanim, Lema, we should say your Klal Rava, Kol Dov Shemba, Shedem Azecher, Zafil Masachas Eino, since he couldn't be Mafrish a second Maser after the first Maser, because once he's Mafrish the first 10%, then Nitkinu Kol HaPeros, and there's no Tevel, there's no possibility of being Mafrish another 10. Therefore, if he's Mafrish 20% in one fell swoop, that should not be a valid afrush at all. Why the peros misukonim, they should still be tevel. We have to prove from here against Rabbah that even though a person could not be mafrish one maser and then a second maser, nevertheless, if he's mafrish a chomish b'masachas, then there is a shem maser on 10 out of the 20%. We don't know which 10%, and therefore peros of mikul kolim is the tarovus of tevel and maser. But at least as far as the balance of his tefuah, the 80% that's left, he had an effective hafrosha, and therefore it's peros of chulin, and that's called misukanim. So Gemara says, "Nein, shiny maser. Maser has a different din. The iso lechatzot. He doesn't have to be mafrish on peros shlemim, but rather on mechtzis we call pri." Zasacha kol has to be 10%, but it could be made up of segments of fruits. If you add together all these chatzi, all these segments of fruits, and it equals to 10%, then that would be a valid afrosha. Ti omar tikdosh palga palga de chitasa kodsha. That if a person would take a full chomesh of his tvua, and he would make the following decoration, Hareini mafrish chatzi mikol gargir chito l'maser. I want to be mafrish half of each kernel of wheat as maser. Then chala hafrosha zu v'nitkena tvuasa. In such a case, it would be valid. And therefore, even when he's mafrish one chomish stam, there's no chala shei maser on everything for sure, because the Torah is only recognizes maser. But al chetzi mikol pri, even though on the entire 20% there is no chal shei maser, but on half of each one of these kernels of wheat, there would be a chal shei maser. And he's not being mafrish more than maser, he's only being mafrish 10%. And therefore, nitkenu peros of karoy. And here's where Rashi comes to the fore, as usual, and he says, Chayav adam lekvoa shvisa b'yarba amas ha'omdos b'mokom echad. V'yena rashoy l'chalek shvisoso shtei amos b'mokom echad v'shtay b'mokom acher. So he's got to get four amos out of the eight amos. Mashenkein. Here, in the case of maser, he doesn't have to be, maser bimokom echad. You know, he could have a little bit here and a little bit there, a chatzi pri here and a chatzi pri here. And that's exactly what he said. He said he wants to be mafish a chatzi here, a chatzi there, and the sum total of it will be 20% of his produce. And at some point, where as we, so to speak, count out each chatzi gargir or chatzi pri, we'll get to some point which is the maser point. And at that point, niskenu peros of karoy. His peros are, instead of tevel, they are chulin, and they're heter. His masos of a kul kolam, because he didn't have any kavanah to be mafrish maser on the second half of those peros, and if he gives the whole 20% to the Levi, then he's got a surplus of peros of chatzoi peros, which are maser and half of matevo. So that issue he's going to have to resolve. But as far as the hafrosh is concerned, it's a valid hafrosha on chatzi gargir, chatzi pri. Fine. Then the Gemara asks, "Vare Maser Behema de Lesel Chatzon." But in the case of Maser Behema, you have to be mafresh the entire animal as Maser. So you have 10 animals in the deer, and you let them go out until you get to the 10th. You say Asiri Kodesh, but it's got to be on a Behema Shlema. And you can't be, you can't set aside two Behemos, one after the other, for Maser. So the first animal that you specify and declare as Maser, that is Asiri, that's your Maser. The next one, which is number 11, that's not Asiri. You can't count it as the 10th, it's the 11th. And there's no Chal Hashem Kedusha at all. But nevertheless, we still have... So, again, you and I would say that if it was Mafrish, two Behemos from Maser Behema Bivasachas, then we'd apply Rava's principle of Kol She'ena Bozechaseh is Afil Vasachaseh. But yet, listen to this statement of Rava. Again, it happens to be the same Rava, although the girsa here is not necessarily the right girsa. It could be it's Rava with an Aleph, Rava. Yatsu Shnayim Basiri, right? So he has all the animals in a corral, and when he gets to the 10th, two animals jump out simultaneously. So which one is the 10th? Kron Asiri, and the Bailam decided to declare that both of these two animals are the Asiri. And the reason he did that is because the two animals checked out of the corral at the same time simultaneously, so he declared they're both Asiri. Now, you and I would have said in such a case, since you can't be mafresh two animals as Maser, then the whole deal is off because Afiv Vasachas ain't no according to Rabbah. But yet, here's what the din is. The din is that Asiri v'achadasar mu'uravim zebazeh, that the chalosh shem maser is chal on both animals, but one of them is the 10th and the other is the 11th. So we have here maser behavior. Now, you know, the extra animal here that he called Asiri, whichever one it is, we don't know, but it's really an 11th animal that was called the 10th. And in such a case, it has what's called not Kedushas Bechor, but rather Kedushas Shlomim. So we now have a Tarobes in these two animals of a Behemoth Maser together with a Behemoth Shlomim. We don't know which one is Chal Kedushas Maser, which one is Chal Kedushas Shlomim. But we see clearly that even though in Maisa Behemoth, as we said before, it's impossible to superimpose a Chal Hashem Maisa Behemoth on two animals, but nevertheless there is a valid Hakdosha here. He was Magdish one of these two animals as Maisa Behemoth. We don't know which, and therefore we'll have to treat both of them as Sofek Kedusha Shlomim, or Safek Kedushas Maser Sheni. And here we want to read the note. It's actually quite a long note, but let's see if we can hone in on certain highlights. He says that with regard to Maisa Behema, there's a mitzvah say incumbent upon a person to be mafrish on a yearly basis, annual basis, from his bakar and son that were born in that Eder and that year, a maser, one-tenth of all those animals that were born this year. And he takes all the animals into the deer, and he opens an entranceway so that it should be narrow and only one animal should go out at a time. And he counts them one after the other. And on the 10th one, he makes a big, you know, he paints a big red sign on it, like an X or something. And he declares, he pronounces Areza Mas. And then he takes that up to the Beis Hamikdash as a korban. And there's Rikas Adam, there's Haktaras Emurim. And what's ever left in the Basar is eaten by the Bailim in Yerushalayim, like other Kodshim Kalim. if he is a balmum, is nechal abaylam b'chol moko. If the maser baby is a balmum, then it can be eaten anywhere. Now, he made a mistake in the counting, and if he would have made a mistake in the counting and he counted one keves as asiri, even though it's number 11, then here's the deal. If he called one she, or one he called 11, then it has a chalosh shem kedusha, as the Gemara is going to clarify right now. If he was korea afterwards, one of the kvasim, he was kore a shem maser, then lochala kedusha. So in the case, let's say, for example, it was the 11th animal that went out and he called it asiri, then there's no chalosh shem asiri because he has already an asiri. He can't make the 11th into asiri. Alright. Now, the Gemara says the following. That shiny masa behema, this is not a kasha on Rabba, because masa sheni is different, and we don't apply the principle of kol she'eino bazecher zeh. Why? The isa bazecher zeh. There, in fact, is within the constellation of masa sheni, there's a possibility to be mafresh two animals, one after the other, and they'll both be kodesh b'kedushas masa behema, and that's the case of toves. The snan, we have a mishnah in Bechoros, the mishnah says if a person makes a mistake, and he was korea a keves, he kore shem ala keves, she, it was the 9th lamb that went out of the corral, and he called it asiri, and now the 10th lamb that goes out, the kevesh yotz asiri, right, he mistakenly called it the 9th, she, and the one that came afterwards he called it the 11th, Ishloshna Mikudoshim. All three will receive the Kedusha and the status of Maisa Behem. So in other words, in a case of Tos, we see that it is possible that the Kedusha could be Chal on a Behema, which is really the 11th Behema, and there was already a Chal Hashem Kedusha on the 10th, it's therefore nitan, we're allowed to be magdish everything vas achas, and he calls asiri to two animals, the kedusha of masa would be chal on one of them, and on the other one, a kedushas shlomim. More now is another kash, another objection against Rava. Vehare chalos toda. Okay, so now we're talking about a person who's makriv a korban toda, because he fits into one of the various categories of salvation, and he has to bring as an accompaniment to the korban toda 40 chalos. They have to be shlemos, not prusos, 10 of which are chametz and 30 of which are matzah, and the matzah fits in or can be subcategories into three species, if you will, three categories or branches. It's got to be chalos, rekikim, and rekuva. I'm sorry, and revucha. So together with the chametz, if you count everything together, he's got four different minim, and he's got 10 chalos from each min. And that's what he gives as maser to the kohen, and he's required to give maser to the kohen from each one of these four categories. Now, at what point do these chalos became sanctified? With the shchitas hazevach, the shchitas mekadesh, the lechamim, and they have to be eaten one day and one night. And if he makes a mistake and he was mafresh, then lo niskad shu. Then it becomes under comes under the regular halacha of ein tos lehegdish, that the tos undermines the hegdish. Okay, so that's lachmei toda, chalas toda. Fine. Now what happens? Less of a tos, the less of a zecher zeh. Now, it's not like the case of Maisa Behema, which we said if he accidentally calls the 11th or 10th, it would be chal. But rather, there's no such thing as tos. You cannot be magdish more than 40 chalos, even if you made a mistake. The lesser bezecher zeh. And you cannot be magdish 40 chalos, no sophos, after the shkitas hazevah. And as we said before, the shechita sazevach is mekadesh. Once that shechita was done, and it was mekadesh 40 lechamim, there's no possibility of being mekadesh, of being magdish more than additional lechamim. Also, it's lesser lechatzon, which means that you can't bring 80 chalos and be magdish half of them, like we discussed before with regard to masa behim. The itmar, nevertheless, despite all this, we have a machlokas in the base medrash with regard to behemas toda shenishchata al shmonim chalos kiachas. So the shechita of the korban toda was done to be mekadesh all the lechamim, and in this case 80 lechamim. And chizki amar kachu Allah arboy mitok shmonim. According to Chizkiah, his act of being magdish is valid and it is effective, and 40 out of the 80 lechamim are subject chalaleim kiddushas toda. Again, we don't know which of the 40 from the 80, and he's going to have to eat all the 80 chalos b'kiddusha during a time period called Yom V'Laila, because he doesn't know which are the 40 chalos that were sanctified. But Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo kodshu Allah arboy mitok shmoni. There's no chalos shem kedusha at all, even on 40 out of the 80. In any event, getting back to Chizkiah. So according to Chizkiah, we see that even though it's impossible to be mafresh 40 chalos todos after he already was mekadesh 40 and there was a kiddush through the shechitas hazevach, nevertheless, if he was mafresh 80 simultaneously, then the kiddush is chal on 40 out of the 80. We should apply the principle of Rabbi here, kol sheinu bezecher zeh afilu vasachas eino. There's no way he could be mekadesh, he could be magdish another 40 lechamim after the first 40 were sanctified. And yet, if he is magdish 80 lechamim, then 40 out of the 80 are chal b'kedushas lachmei toda. And this would seem to be a kasha on Rabba, because Rabba holds that if it's eino bezecher zeh, he certainly cannot have been magdish the second 40 after he had already been magdish the first 40, is afil vasachas namilo. So why does Chizkiah say that 40 out of the 80 are all kadosh b'kedushas toda lachmi toda? So my answer is ha'itmar Allah, with regard to this machlokas, the shmu and the base measure was the following: Amar Rav Zeira, El Rav Zeira, Hakol Modim, whether it's Chizkiah or Rav Yochanan, they both concede that Hechad Yomer LeKadshi Arboy Mitok Shmonim DeKadshi. Even Rav Yochanan would agree that if he made the statement, let 40 out of the 80 be Kodesh, and he only has any interest at all, his only interest is to be Magdish 40 Chalas out of 80, is in such a case, certainly there would be a Chalos Shem Kedusha on 40 out of 80. And even Rabbi Yochanan would be molded to that. Number two, just clearing the path for the machlokas, if he declared shelo yikdishu arboim elam kein kodshu kol hashmonim, he made a declaration that 40 chalos will not be sanctified unless 80 will. It's an all or nothing proposition in his mind. It's kuliyama lo pligi, everybody agrees the lo kodshu, that there's no chalos shem kedusha, even on the arboim, that he was magdish. But ki pligi, where's the area of contention? If he brings 80 chalos in a situation of stam, and he's not mefarish, he doesn't explicate exactly what he has in mind. This is called stam. Is now we have a machlokas between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan how to define this case of stama. Mar Savar, according to Chizkiah, that person is Leachrayus Kamachavin. His intention was that in event that the 40 Lechamim get lost or get destroyed or they become Tomei, then he has another cavalry, fallback 40 chalos that will now replace the original 40. And this is all based on what's called Chayev Odom Achrayus Chalosov. A person is personally responsible for the chalos of Lachmei Toda. And Chizkiah says that this person, when he added the other 40, he didn't mean to say that all 40 should be sanctified by Kedusha Slachmei Toda. He meant to say that let 40 out of the 80 be Kadosh, and in the event that 40 are lost, you still have the balance of the 80, the other 40 to choose from. The Altnai Aisinu. Notice the only reason he brought the 80 chalas to the Migdash was for a Tnai. He didn't mean to give away that gift to the Beis HaMikdash. And if the Apostle Rishonos, then he will fulfill his obligation with these. And therefore, Kodshu Arboim Chalas Mitoch HaShmonim, 40 out of the 80 will be sanctified. And only in an event that some of those 40, any of those 40, or all those 40 get lost or contaminated, then he will replace the 40 that got lost with another 40. And therefore it makes sense that he can be magdish 40 chalos from 80 chalos. And his kavan is only to be magdish the first 40 out of 80. But if he had kavan to be magdish all of them, That would be a much more bold kind of move on his part. If he wanted to be magdish all 80 lechamim vas achas. So in effect, basically what we're saying is that he was magdish 40 out of 80. Now we can turn. The Daf Nun Amud Beis Umarsov, Rabbi Yochanan holds that this person, the Korban Gadol Kamachamin, he actually thinks that he can get away with a very lavish Korban Shlomim, Korban Meiser of Shmonim Chalas. I meant to say Lach Meitod, sorry. And therefore, it's impossible, Lasos came, Lo Chalak Kedusha Afal Arboim Mitoch. Rabbi Yochanan says, since it's impossible to bring all 80 chalas as a carbon, therefore, even 40 out of the 80 are possible. Because since, it's not going to be possible to know what he had. So therefore, there's no chalos kedusha even on 40 out of the 80. It's kol sheni bazech hazeh, fil basachas eno. And the Gemara here is implying that Rabba would reflect the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, and that would be a valid shita. Now, Tosus here on the top of Nun Amud Beis raised the question. The Gemara says, "Mar Sovar LeKarban Gadol Kamachavin." Why do we have to interpret Rabbi Yochanan as holding that his kavana was for a larger carbon of shmonim of 80 chalas? Why not just say he wanted 40 chalas v'achrayis? But nevertheless, it's not valid because Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira, and it's impossible to mevarer which chalos are the rishonos that come for a korban and come with the korban, and which come afterwards. And therefore, since he can't bring any of these 40 lechamim, therefore it's all possible. Tosus says he can't say that because Breira is not relevant to this discussion. We don't need to be mavar which of the chalos would come with the korban, as once the kedusha is chal on the lechamim, then that should be enough to validate the korban. And if he eats all 80 chalos b'kedusha, that would be fine. There's no need to compel us to apply Breira here. So therefore, the only reason we can explain Rabbi Yochanan, why does he invalidate this Maisak Kedosha when he says Likadshu Arboim, is because he holds that his Kavanah was L'Karban Gadol Kamachavin, a carbon of 80 chalas, and that's impossible. Lo chala kedusha, even on 40 out of the 80. Now the Gemara goes back to clarify in what scenario you could be koveh shvisa underneath the ilan. Omar Abai lo shanu, when the Mishnah says that a person could be koveh shvisa underneath the nof, the foliage of the Elon, and according to Rav, he interprets Lomar v'lo klum means that Lomar v'lo klum kol ikar, that's only the Elon sheyesh tachtov shtemisrei ama. If, let's say, the width of the foliage of the nof of the tree is shtemisrei ama or more than shtemisrei. In this case, we don't know where he had his kavanah to be koveh shvisa. Would it be the four amos, let's say, on the north side that's closer to him, or perhaps the four amos on the south side that might be closer to his bias? Maybe he meant the four amos in the middle. There are three units of four amos, so we have no... Rav says Lomer lo klum because there's no beer of which four amos he's being called a shvisin. I will be ilan she'ein tachtov shtemisrei ama. If the case would be that an ilan has less than shtemisrei ama in its width, the width of its below its nof, then in such a case this would be a meaningful kinyan shvisa. He would be kona shvisa tachsilim. Why? Sharei miktsas beso nikar. Okay, that's a metaphor of sorts. Miktsas beso nikar. Let's see the way Rashi interprets this Gemara. Nitan livar arba amos mitochan shebevade kona osan odom shvisa b'chelkan. You know, you can pinpoint and isolate four amos that for sure he was kona shvisa in within those four amos. And those are the middle four amos. Because even if he was kona shvisa on the four amos tsfonios or the four amos dromios, nevertheless, he certainly has to be kona shvisa in some minimum amount in the emtsoios. And that's enough of a biru to be koveh shvisa tachas ha'ilan. So you'll see that in this case, let's say he has 11 amos underneath the nof. Right? He has 11 amos underneath the nof. So if we take, let's say, 4 amos from Dorom moving towards Tzafon, or let's say we take 4 amos from the Tzafon moving towards the Dorom, he's going to definitely have, let's say, 3 amos in the middle, which is below the Elon. And if that be the case, there is an absolute birur of part of the four amos that he wants to be koveh kona shvisa in. So let's just summarize. Abaye says that in the case of a tree that does not have 12 amos beneath it, a portion of his residence is defined beneath this tree. Meaning, if we divide this area into three sections of 4 amos each, the two outer sections have to overlap with the middle section. The middle section therefore contains at least a portion of his 4 amos shvisa. No matter which of the 4 amos are his, whether it's the outer 4 amos, the inner 4 amos, but there's going to be an overlap in the 3 amos in the middle. So if the tree's width is less than 12 amos, the middle 4 amos necessarily include at least a portion, a section of the 4 amos areas on each side. So regardless of whether his 4 amos consists of the middle section or one of the other side sections, the north or the south, we may be sure that at least a portion of his 4 amos residence lies within the middle 4 amos. And Abai considers this as a well-defined area to establish a shvisa for him. And Rav would certainly agree that in this case, even though we don't know for sure what are the boundaries of his 4 amos, but he definitely was kovea, was kona shvisa. And again, you know, exactly how we're going to measure out his tchum Shabbos, that's a different issue, but one thing is for sure, he was kona shvisa. And now the Gemara is going to present an objection of Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua against Abai's premise that part of his residence somehow is well defined within the middle 4 amos, and that's enough to be kovea, to be kona shvisa. Mimai to be arba mitziyosa komisayim, dilma be arba mihai gisa be arba mihai gisa komisayim. On what basis do you say, Abai, that the middle 4 amos are defined as his kinyan shvisa? Perhaps the 4 amos at one end of the tree or at the other end of the tree are well-defined sections. In other words, there's nothing legally significant about the middle 4 amos. If he knows that part of his shvisa falls somewhere within them, that's not sufficient to make his residence defined. While the 4 amos around the center of the tree include portions of every possible resonance shvisa under the tree, there's no reason to assume that the area of those 4 amos in the middle is his actual shvisa over the two outer areas. You know, just to arbitrarily assume that one of the outer areas is his shvisa for Shabbos, we can no longer be sure that it contains even a portion of the actual resonance. So therefore, Rav Huna asserts that the designation is too vague to be effective, according to Rav, who requires it to be very specific. So that's what he says here in the Hebrew version. He says, Dilma Yeshlomer bi'arba, he was koveh shvisa bi'arba amas chitzonius, shebitzad zeh bitzad acher, Mi hivdil lecha es ha'arba amos ha'mtsoyus min ha'shar, who designates the 4 amos in the middle, separating them from the other extremities on this side, the north, the west, the north or the south. So what if mitzas beso is nikar b'hem? Nevertheless, it's still possible that he was koveh shvisa, either in the 4 amos sifonios or dromios. And these two are not muvlos eila. There's no overlap between the 4 on this extreme and the 4 on that extreme. And he may have been kovea his shvis on one of those two extreme 4 amos on this side or on that side. So once again, we come to the conclusion she'ein makom shvisaso mavura. So why is he kona shvis in that case? And as a result of this kasha, this objection of Rav Huna, he interprets the din in a different way. El Amar Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, Lo Shanu, when does the Mishnah apply that a person whose Kovesh Shvisa Tachas Ilan according to Rav is Lo Amar Klum, Ela Bi Ilan Sheyesh Tachtov Shmona Amos. That only applies to a tree that has below it 8 Amos. And that's not a Shvisa Mivureris. We don't know if he wants the 4 amos on this side, the northern side, or the 4 amos on the southern side. So that's the rochav of 8 amos under the ilan. Avol be'ilon sheyesh tachtav rak sheva amos. If the entire area underneath the foliage of the tree is sach hakol 7 amos, harei miktas beso nikar. Now we can apply the principle that Abaye applied too freely in the case where it was almost 12 amos, in the case where it's only 7 amos, because whichever shvisi was kona, whether it's the 4 amos dromios or the 4 amos tsfonios, nevertheless, it's one thing is absolutely clear, that he was koveh shvisa with that one amma in the middle, right? So you have, let's say you have 4 amos going this way and 4 amos going that way for the sakol 8 amos. There's definitely a part under the elon that overlaps whichever way he goes. And that part of the elon is like a partner in both this side or in that side. Right? Because if you have 4 amos out of 7, then you've already you've already entered into the other 4 amos on the other side. So no matter what, you have a part of your shvisa that's muvareris with 1 amma, and that should be enough to make this an effective statement, a proclamation to be kona shvisa tachas ha'ilon. Now the Gemara has a braisa that supports Rav, and another braisa that supports Shmuel. Tanya Kavosi de Rav. Tanya Kavosi de Shmuel. Tanya Kavosi de Rav. Misha Baba Derech. See, he's on a road on Erev Shabbos for Choshchalo, and it gets dark. It's now about to be Shabbos. Vayamakir Ilan Ogoder. And he's aware of a tree or a fence, which is 2,000 amma away from where he's standing. The Almighty declares, Shvisasi Tachtov. My Shvisa should be underneath that tree or that fence. Lo Amar Klum. He wasn't Bavaris Mokum Shvisa. Avalim Amar. But if he declares, Harini Kover Shvisasi B'Mokum Ploni. In a specific place, which is Mukaf Mechitzos, Konesham Shvisa. Even though he wasn't Bavar, which Arba Amos he wants to be Shovis in that place. But nevertheless, he's kona shvisa. And therefore, as a result of that, Mahalich, he's allowed to walk after Shabbos enters 2,000 amma until he's magil osam makom. And when he gets to the osam makom, Mahalich es kulo. In other words, that whole makom, since it's a specific makom, is considered like 4 amos. And therefore, he's not goreya from his tchum of arba amos within that makom. And he can continue even beyond Alpayim Amo, the Laloch Chutzal Lo Arbamos No Sofos L'Chol Ruach, and he will give him another additional 2,000 Amo in each direction because he was Konisham Shvisa. But Medvarim Murim, when does this apply that he can go the entire length and reach that Mokom and then another 2,000 Amo from there as a radius around that Mokom? That's only if he was Konisham Shvisa Mokom Mesuyam. It's a place that separates itself from the general area. Let's say it's in a valley, right? But it has mechitzos around it. Kigon sheshovas betel shehu gavoa asora tvochim vu arba amos me arba amos ad beisos asayim. So he has an area which is a mound that's high. It's 10 tvochim high, and its width is not less than 4 amos, and not more than beis sasayim, and that's called a makom mesuyam. Since it has the dimensions of 10 amos, 10 tefachim, excuse me, in height, and 4 amos in width, as long as it's not more than a beis sasayim, because if it's more than a beis sasayim, that's already another iser of carrying because of the din of a karpaf midrabban. But anyway, so v'chein, and also if he was koveh shvis in a bika shehi amuka asara, so we're talking about a valley way that is 10 tefachim deep, and v'hime arba amos ad beis osam, again in terms of its width it is at least a minimum of 4 amos wide, up until but not beyond Beis HaSayim. And in all these cases, we judge the bick or the tail as it was a specific arba amos, and he's kona shvisa. Avol, but if he's kovei shvisa on a makom sheinu mesuyam, that is not a separate area unto itself, and it cannot be judged as a 4 amos area, is ein lo ela arba amos. Then he can only go from 4 amos. Misham yesh lo arpayim amol chol ruach. If there were 2 people walking on the road, echad makir, one of them knows exactly where his makom of roi l'shvisa is, at a distance of within 2,000 amah from where they're standing. V'echadeh makir, the other one doesn't know. Zesheno makir, moser shvisasol makir. He can appoint, so to speak, the other person who knows exactly where to be kona shvisa and where the 2,000 amah will take him on his behalf. And he says, Tehe Shvisasi Ima, I'll be together with you in the Makom Shvisa. Hamakir Omer Shvisasenu B'Makom Ploni, we together will be Kona Shvisa in a certain place. When do we say that if it's a Makom Shena Mesuyam, he could be Kona Shvisa for 4 amos, and he gets a 2,000 amos beyond the 4 amos? Kishem Siem Arba Amos Shekova. He clarifies, he determines exactly which 4 amos he was koveya as his makom shvisa. For example, he declares that he wants to be kona shvisa in the ikro shel ilon, right, in the base of the tree, right, where the trunk of the tree is. Avolos CMS arba amos shekova. But if he didn't specify where these 4 amos are, like he says he wants to be koveh shvisa under the nof of the ilan, and the nof of the ilan covers more of an area beyond 4 amos, lo yozuz mimkomo, then he's stuck in his own 4 amos, because mimonafshah, he wasn't mevara mokom shvisa to be kona, and he didn't establish this shvisa right here. All he gets is maximum 4 amos. But one thing we see clearly from this brisa, that if a person is not Mavara, is Mokum Shvisa, he's not Kona Shvisa at all. And this Braisa reflects the sheet that supports the sheet of Rav against Shmuel, who holds that he would be Koveya Shvisa Mikol Mokum, just it would be Yadu Ala Tachtona. So the Gemara says, Lema Tevituv to the Shmuel. Do we have a Braisa that really contradicts Shmuel? Amalcha Shmuel. Shmuel would say, Achamai Askinon. In what case is the Braisa dealing with? Kegon Deika, when there is mimakom avidus raglov, from the place where he's standing, viad ikro shel ilon, tre alfi vi arba garmide, 2,004 amos. De mukmisle the idach gisa de ilon. If we're going to set up his shvisa on one side of the ilon, kumle lebar mitchuma, then it means that he's standing at the time of Shabbos outside of the Tchum, and he's not allowed to go more than 4 amos. Therefore, Isiem Arba Amos Motzi Ozil. Therefore, he has to be Mavar, which 4 amos underneath the Elon on the Tzad that's near him is going to be his Makom Shvisa, near where he's standing at the time of Knesset HaShabbos. And then he can walk till there, and then get himself the 2,000 amah from there to his house. But the ilo, if he wasn't clear about being kona makom shvisa lo motzi ozil, he's not allowed to go more than 4 amos, because maybe he was kovei shvisa on the other side of the ikar ilon. He's standing on the opposite side of the ikar ilon, and he's outside of the tchum shvisasa, because it's 2,004 amah away from him. But then Tanya Kavose de Shmuel, we have a Braisa that supports Shmuel. And the Braisa says the following. A man made a mistake, and he set up an Eruv in 2 different directions. He put down 2 Eruvei Tchumen, one on the south side and one on the north side. Now, since Kimiduma hu shema arvin lo shtei ruchos, he thinks that he can be ma'arv on two sides, so that he can, you know, so that, let's say in the morning, you know, he can go to the tzadorom, and then in the evening he can go to tzadofon, you know, he could, he has his wish, you know, he could divide up the day of Shabbos, and part of it he has his tchum this way, part of it has his tchum that way, because he thinks he could set up two tchumim for himself with two different eruv day tchumim. Oh, alternatively, sha'omel avod of tzu ve'irvu li, he gave them a pass for Erev Tchumen, and he appointed them, his servants, to go and set up this Erev. One of them set up the Erev on the Tzofon side, the other on the Dorom side. So, since he can only be Koveya his Shvisa in one of these two Makomos, he can only have one Erev Tchumen in one direction, and he doesn't know which direction, is then we have to impose upon him a double Chumra, Chumrei Shneim, which means Mahalach Litzofon Beiruvo Lidoro. He's only allowed to go from his house towards the north in that direction, the shear that is, you know, the surplus of his Erev Shenichalov Litzad Doro. So all he's going to get from the Tzad Sofon is whatever is Mashlim the 2000 Amah. For example, let's say he puts the Eruv at a distance of 1,000 Amah from his house on the Tzad Dorom. So assuming he was Koveya Shvisa on that Tzad Dorom, he'll be allowed to go another 1,000 Amah till he gets to his house. He's got another 1,000 Amah Litzad Tzofon, because Sach HaKol, he has to be machmir that he was Koveya Shvisa on the Tzad Dorom, and all he's going to get is 2,000 Amah, 1,000 Amah in the Tzad Tzofon. And, flip side, Rashoi Lios Mahalach Litzad Dorom, Kefiya Shir Sheminiapo, Eruva Litzofon. So he'll get from the Tzad Tzofon only that which is from the Tzad Dorom. So let's say he left his Eruv, his second Eruv, at a distance of 1,000 Amah from his house, Litzad Tzofon. He's going to only be allowed to go from there to his house 1,000 Amah, and from his house towards the south another 1,000 Amah. Because again, we're giving him the imposing on him the chumras of both Tzofon and Dorom, not knowing which tchum he was called the Kohen Shvisa. The imitzu olav esatchum, then lo yozis mimkoma. Okay. So let's see if we can understand how this brisa is a proof to support Shmuel. And he says that if the two establish the tchum boundaries, the two of his servants, let's say, establish his tchum boundaries, and they don't overlap, they have him at the center point between the two tchum areas, then lo yozis mimkoma. Because he wanted to establish two Eruvs. Only one is actually valid. We don't know which one. Therefore, he's restricted, says Rashi, to the area which is included in the tchum of both. And all he has now is four Amos. The Eruv was placed 1,000 Amos to the south of his home, another place 1,000 Amos to the north of his home. You know, all he has is that area, you know, that lies between the two Eruvs. He doesn't know which Eruv took effect. So he's limited to the tchum area that's common to both, but since the tchum area doesn't overlap in this case, right, he's allowed no tchum area at all, and he can't even travel within the city. All we can give him is four amos. Now, the first reisha of this braisa, which teaches that when a person establishes two eruvs, and it's not clear which of the two take effect, it seems that nevertheless it's certain that one did take effect, which is Makabil. That's similar to designating his Makom Shvisa in an undefined four Amah beneath the tree. And that would support Shmuel's opinion that an undefined designation does establish a resonance. Because Rav, on the other hand, would say that such a designation is meaningless. It's completely ineffective. So the Gemara asked Lema to have Yituv to the Rav. So the answer is Rav Tana Upolik. Now we're going to invoke this, the principle that Rav himself is a Tana, and he can argue against a Braisa. Okay then, now this leads us to the sugya that begins two lines up before the end of Daf Nun Amid Beis. And we will begin this sugya now. The Mishnah had said that if a person declared Shvisoso Beikro Shel Ilon, then he is Kona Shvisa. Okay, he says that let my Shabbos residence be at the trunk of the tree. And now Mahalik Mimokam Raglov Viad Ikro, he can walk from the place he's standing until the Ikara Ilon, the trunk of the tree. Alpayim Amo, up to 2,000 Amo. And up to his house, 2,000 Amo, an additional 2,000 Amo to his house. V'nimtza Mahalik Mishakashecha Arbas Alofim Amo. So when it gets dark, he gets a shear of 4,000 amma from his Makom Amida all the way to his house. And now we turn to Daf Nun Aleph Omer Aleph. Omer Rav Avahu, that din of the Mishnah, that if he was Mevara, his Makom Shvisa, Be'ikro Shel Ilon, his Kona Shvisa, that's only Dechi Roit Li Ikro Moti. Which means that if he would run to the tree trunk, he would reach it before dark. But if it's too late to reach it, even by running, then he's not Kona Shvisa. His oral declaration is to be valid, would require at least the possibility of him to reach that area before darkness. If he can't reach it, his declaration is valid. He doesn't have to actually run and reach it. Abai says to Rava, Veha Choshcha Lo Ktani. The Mishnah seems to indicate that he was Omed and the sun was about to set, and he can't reach the place that he's going to get to before darkness. So Rava answers, Choshcha Lebeso. So when the Mishnah says it's becoming dark too quickly for him, which indicates that he might not make his designated area of the tree trunk before Shabbos, we're going to have to interpret it that it's becoming dark too quickly for him to reach home, to reach his bayis, choshcha lebeisav, leikro shel ilon, motzi ozil. He does have enough time to run and reach up, catch up to the trunk of the tree. Kediyami Yom Rava, another version of Rava, to answer the question of Abaye in a different way, is Choshcha Lo, that we interpret as becoming too dark for him too quickly to reach the tree trunk if he were Mazgi Kali Kali, if he would walk slowly. But if he would run, he would get there before it gets dark. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Rabbi Rav Yosef Avika Azli Biurcha, they were on their way on Erev Shabbos, and it was getting dark. Amalei Rabbi Rav Yosef Teishvi Sasenu Tusi Dikla Disavil Achuhai. Let our Shvisa be established under the date palm that supports its brother, which means there's another date palm that was draped over it, so to speak, as if to say that he is supporting, this is the smaller date palm that's supporting the larger date palm that's on top of it. But in any event, what we see is that Rava was Misayim, he was Mevar, he wanted a specific tree, and he designated as his Mokom Shvisa. Amri Leh, according to another version, what was Rava's declaration? He says, Tusei Dikla de Parech Mori Mikargo. He says, let us be Kona Shvisa under a date palm whose fruit relieves its owner of paying taxes, a tree that produces enough fruit that we can pay the taxes for it. Once again, Rava was Messiah and Mevar a specific tree for his Shvisa. Amalei lo yadanalei. Rav Yosef turns to Rav and he says, I'm not familiar with that tree that you're describing. Omalei, smoch alai. In other words, give me your shvisa. You know, rely on me to be co-shvisa and I'll be co-shvisa for both of us. The sign you will enter the brisa. Rav Yosef omer mahayu shneim. Shnai mahalchem b'derech. Echon makir v'echon eno makir. Zesh eno makir. Moser shvisosol makir. Right, the one who doesn't know an exact place where he should be kodesh shvisa, he could say to his friend that knows exactly where to be kodesh shvisa, and the other friend will say tehei shvisa senu, or shvis, right, or the first one who doesn't mak, he says tehei shvisa si imach. The zesha makir, the one who does know exactly how to identify a specific landmark, he will declare tehei shvisa senu v'makom ploni. We could both be kovei shvisa in that same place, v'lohi. And the Gemara now says that this is not what Rabbi said to Rav Yosef by quoting the din of Rav Yossi. That's not really true, because this din was said stam. It wasn't said by Rav Yossi, and it was in a brisa, lo tonalei ki Rav Yossi. So Rabbi was not teaching Rav Yosef about a din that he quoted in the name of Rav Yossi, Eloki hechi de la kabale mine, in order that he said it to impress Rabba, I'm sorry, to impress Rav Yosef, that Rav Yosef would accept what he says, Mishum de Rav Yossi nimuki imo. We always paskin like Rav Yossi because we assume that his reason is with him, meaning that his logic in halacha is very compelling, and therefore we accept it. And the Gemara in Gittin, when it enumerates all the great attributes of the various Chachmei Yisrael, it says about Rav Yossi Nimukeo Imo. And Rashi says over there in Gittin, She Pirusho Imo Loseis Tam L'chol Dvar, She Hoyam Yashiv Esvar. He always had an answer to explain his ruling, his statement, his verdict. Rashi says it a little bit different over here. He has Nimuko as Nimuko, or Nimukav. But basically it means that all his words are straight, like a Kav, and they're very well weighed out and balanced. Now, as far as Rabba mentioning the name of Rav Yossi, we have a principle called Omer Dover Mipi Chacham Shalo Garmu Mimenu Goreim L'Shkinish Tistalek. So it's a little bit strange that Rabba would say a halacha in the name of an Adam Gadol just in order to impress, in this case, Rav Yosef, to accept what he says. But it could be that what the Gemara means, that statement in the Brisa Masechta Kala, is talking about a case where they would accept that din even if he didn't say it in the name of a certain gadol. But if they wouldn't accept it unless he said the name of the gadol, that's different. And what it says here, that Rabbi said to Rav Yosef this din in the name of Rav Yossi, that's only in order mishum shalo nishne din ze b'shmo shalo demacher. This din was not, we don't know to attribute it to anybody. If this din was attributable to one person, he said in the name of someone else, that's for sure asur, even if he wants to impress him to make him accept. And furthermore, when a person says his own svar, svaras atzmo, then he shouldn't say it in the name of an odom acher. But if he heard it from someone, he's allowed to say it in his name, afilu mishmo shel chacham shelo amro. So let's say he's vague, he doesn't know exactly who said it, but he knows he heard it from someone, he can mention a name and sort of assume that it was that person. Okay then, so we're going to stop here on the top of Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're up to the two dots, which is about 15 lines down from the top, Im Eino Maki.